You turn me to that short letter of Jude that we read earlier on this morning. In the early days of my Christian life, in my latter teens and early 20s, I set myself to memorize passages of Scripture. I memorized passages like Isaiah 6, Isaiah 53 and 55, the first three chapters of the Song of Songs, John 14, 1-6, Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2 and verses 1-11, Romans 5 and 8, and many hundreds of individual verses of the Scriptures. I also memorized the letter of Jude. And you might ask, why did you pick that letter to memorize? You might well ask. I was only a young Christian, and I wanted to learn off by heart something as a whole. A whole book of the Bible, a complete letter contained in the Scriptures. But Jude is the shortest letter in the New Testament. Let's memorize that. And dear friends, there were times as I committed to memory the words of Jude that I did wonder at the wisdom of doing so. Especially when I came across words like these. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Dear friends, in many ways, this is one of the most terrifying books in the whole of the Word of God, apart perhaps from the second letter of Peter, which is written in a similar vein. Jude, in this letter, paints a devastating picture of what is going on in the last days. He describes unbelievers in the worst of terms. And then he tells us that in those last days, mockers will come, and also separatists and sensualists, all of which will oppose the Church of God with all of their being. Well, I've already read that letter to you this morning. You've seen for yourselves how it is written in the blackest of terms. From verse 4 to verse 19, the situation that Jude paints is very dark indeed for the Church of Christ. And I cannot help thinking that we ourselves in this land are heading very rapidly towards such days which are being described. And such a thought could so easily depress us, especially those of us whose desire it is that our Lord and Saviour might be glorified among men through his church here upon this earth. However, and I'm sure you sigh of relief, it is not my intention this morning to dwell upon such things. For we praise the Lord that Jude does not finish his letter upon such a note, but on an exhortation that leads us to the very heights of glory. The words that I want us to consider this morning are found in verse 21. And the exhortation is this: keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, at first sight, these words might present us with a problem. I'm sure that some of you at least would say, I really cannot understand what Jude is saying here. Surely we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And to think that we can keep ourselves sounds not only presumptuous, but it seems to be arrogance and indeed dangerous. Does not Paul tell us that we should be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ? But here is this exhortation given by Jude to each one of us who belong to the Lord this morning, keep yourselves in the love of God. Jude seems to be telling us by these words that this is something that we must be very careful to do. We must be diligent day by day to keep ourselves in the love of God. This is something that we do not leave solely to the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. This is not something that is just going to happen to us without any endeavor on our part. This is something that we ourselves must do if we desire to be kept in the love of God. Well, dear friends, the first thing, obviously, that we must do this morning is to ascertain the meaning of these words. What is Jude actually telling his readers to do? What is the Holy Spirit, in other words, saying to us through these words which he inspired Jude to write? Well, let us first of all make it very plain what Jude is not saying. Jude does not mean that we are to do something that will keep God loving us. That is impossible. For God loves his people with an everlasting love. His love towards those for whom Christ died there upon that cross at Calvary can never cease. It can never change. And what a great comfort and what a great strength that should be to us who have experienced the saving grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, in the forgiveness of all our sins. Dear friends, we can never be more loved by God than we are now. Even when we enter into heaven and are there gathered around his throne, singing his praises from the very depths of our hearts, as he, our God and Lord, looks upon us, looks into our hearts, and then sees the perfect being that we have become as we have been glorified in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not love us any more than he loves us at this very moment of time, as the sinful creatures that we are now sitting down in this place this morning. Dear friends, he loves us now with an infinite love, with an unchanging love, with a love that will never cease. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Paul makes this very plain in that 8th chapter of Romans when he writes, "Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So then these words of Jude cannot mean that we can lose such a love which the Father has graciously bestowed upon us. Such a thought is not there in the mind of Jude when he wrote these words, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." Well then, what is Jude telling us that we must do? Well, there are a number of things which Jude would include in this word of exhortation to his readers. Let me just mention three this morning. Firstly, we are to keep the memory of the love of God within our minds. Let us always remember that way back there, before the worlds began, he set his electing love upon us. If we belong to the Lord this morning, if we can say beyond any shadow of doubt that we are the children of God, we have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we've confessed our sins before him, and we have known the forgiveness of those sins, and we have known the Holy Spirit working within our hearts, let us remember that the reason for that is because God loved us before the foundations of the earth. Oh, dear friends, what a thing to remember. What a thing to praise the Lord for. It's beyond our understanding. But it is the truth of God there in his word. Let us remember that it was his love for us that caused him to send his son to this earth to become a man and then to shed his blood on our account, to take our punishment upon himself. And we are ever to remember that his Spirit called us out of darkness into his most marvellous light because of his great love for us. Dear friends, oh, that we might keep ourselves in the love of God, that we might keep within our minds that wondrous love of his in ever calling us to be his own blood-bought children. Remember such love in every circumstance of your life. Oh, what comfort, what strength, what comfort will be ours, even when we are called to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when we remember that the Almighty God loves us. The one who is our Father in heaven loves us with such an everlasting love. But secondly, we're to keep ourselves in the assurance of the love of God toward us. We have known his love. You've experienced his love. You've been able to say, not merely from your mouths, but from the very depths of your heart, he loved me and gave himself for me. My God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is not only pleased to be known to be my Father, but he loves me as his child. Oh, dear friends, keep yourselves in the love of God, so that when those times come when everything and everyone seems to be shouting at you that God can no longer love you, you will have that assurance within your heart, so that even when you are in the very depths of grief and sorrow, when you're struggling with bodily pain or affliction, when anxiety or fear has gripped your mind and spirit, when you have struggled with some temptation and have fallen into sin, and you wonder whether the Lord can still love you. At such times, rejoice in the fact that your God, your Father in heaven, loves you. His love can never cease toward you. He remains my Father, my Lord, my Redeemer. His love is an everlasting love, and it is focused upon me, even at this moment of time. So we are to keep ourselves in the love of God. But finally, but certainly not least, and I believe that here we're getting closer to that which Jude is meaning by these words, we are to keep ourselves in the enjoyment of God's love. Dear friends, just let us pause here for a moment to search our hearts and to ask ourselves, how much do I know of that sheer enjoyment of my God? Am I truly enjoying my Lord and my God every day of my life? How much is it a part of the determination of my whole of my life to know and to enjoy God? Is this the very purpose of my life upon this earth, linked of course with the aim to glorify him in everything that I do? First question of the Westminster Catechism is, what is the chief end of man? What is the chief purpose of man? Why are we here? The answer comes back loud and clear. Man's chief end, man's chief purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Dear friends, I ask you this question as I'm constantly asking myself this same question. How far are we consciously and diligently seeking to live up to this great purpose of God for our lives? Jude says to us that we are to keep ourselves in the love of God. That can only mean, as I sought to reason, that we are to be diligent in being in that conscious awareness of the love of God. We are to keep ourselves in the experience of the love of God. That love which Paul speaks to the Roman Christians about when he says the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us? Are we daily conscious of the experience of his love upon us? Dear friends, I trust you are understanding what I'm trying to say to you, or rather what the Word of God is saying to you this morning. I'm not merely saying that you might believe that God loves you. Oh, that is important. To know the doctrine of the love of God, to increase in the doctrine of the love of God, should be the responsibility of every child of God. To read the scriptures, to read books which specially deal with this great subject of the love of God towards his people. For however long we are here upon this earth, we shall never plumb the depths of such love that sent the Lord Jesus Christ down to this earth to die upon that cruel cross, becoming the anathema for the very worst of sinners like ourselves. John has no adjectives to describe such love. He can only write, "For God so loved the world." Paul, when he's seeking to describe it, uses measurements which are infinite. He speaks about the width and the length and the depth and the height. And dear friends, the more we ponder upon the love of God, the more we shall come across other aspects which will fill us with a sense of sheer wonder and amazement. But sadly, we evangelical Christians are not known for our times of meditation. But I've rather diverted from my purpose. This doctrinal knowledge of God's love, important though it is not what Jude is exhorting us to in these words. No, it is the actual experience of the love of God that we are to strive to keep ourselves in. The conscious enjoyment of the love of God. And once again I ask you, are you enjoying the love of God at this very moment of time? Is it your experience, the experience in your life, to know that sense of the love of God being upon you in every situation of life? How many times have you been able to say with David of old, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Those times of the greatest evils, as they come upon you, and they surely do come upon each child of God. Do you know, are you experiencing the love of God upon you? If so, what about those times when you are not experiencing such love? When you have gone days, perhaps weeks, months, perhaps even years, since you have truly enjoy the Lord your God, when you have literally basked in his love. How have you reacted to that state within your heart? How do you react to that state? How do you cry to the Lord as David did when his sinfulness had lost him that consciousness of the love of God? When he cries, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Lord, might I once again experience the consciousness of your love upon me." Oh dear friends, what a sad state to be in when we are satisfied with less than the Lord has promised to us. The enjoyment of himself, the enjoyment of his love toward us in every situation of life, every moment of every day. My dear friends, it is at a time like this that I wish I had more clarity of mind, more ability in preaching of God's words. But let me use others to make up my deficiency. They can say things much better than I can, and perhaps be the means that the Holy Spirit uses to make you long more to know and to experience daily this love of God. That wonderful hymn that we sometimes sing, "O love divine, how sweet thou art, when shall I find my willing heart all taken up by thee? I thirst, I faint, I die to prove the greatness of redeeming love, the love of Christ to me. Or again, each moment draw from earth away, my heart that lowly waits I call, speak to my inmost soul and say, I am thy Saviour, God, thy all, to feel thy power, to hear thy voice, to taste thy love, be all my choice. And that is it. To taste thy love, be all my choice. That sums it up in a nutshell. Paul puts it like this in that prayer which we have already alluded to there in Ephesians 3. Paul is praying, and he is praying that God would grant those Ephesian Christians to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Now they are Christians, and they know the doctrine of the love of God. Otherwise they wouldn't be Christians. They know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Otherwise they wouldn't have come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. So what was Paul saying? He was saying that they might experience the love of God, the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That they might be ever conscious of and experience the love of God which has been poured out within their hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now it is this love of God that Jude, I believe, is exhorting his readers to keep themselves in. But how are we to keep ourselves in the love of God? What are we to do? Because Paul is exhorting us to keep ourselves. He's exhorting us to keep ourselves in the love of God. This is something that we are to be active in if we are to know that wonderful experience of basking in the love of God, that conscious and constant consciousness of being in the love of Christ. Well, Jude does not leave the Christian under any misunderstanding here. He spells out to them what we should be diligent in if we wish to experience more and more of the fullness of the love of God upon us. There are three things which he says we are to be always occupying ourselves with. First of all, he says that we are to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. What then does Jude mean by this term, our most holy faith? Well, if you turn back to the commencement of this short letter, we read these words: Beloved, when I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. This whole letter is about those who had denied such a faith, denied the body of truth which had been delivered to the saints. What is this body of truth? Well, dear friends, it can only refer to the Holy Scriptures which we are holding in our hands at the moment. It is this that Jude says that we must build ourselves up in. Of course, Paul says very much the same thing in those very well-known words with which he tells Timothy that the Scriptures are there so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Oh, that this might be impressed upon our hearts. It needs to be in the times in which we live. It seems to me that the Word of God is becoming less and less an importance in the life of the modern Christian. How much eagerness is there in your own personal life, not only to know in an increasing way that which God has given to us in his word? Are you eager to come along to listen to that which God would say to you through the preaching of the word of God? Do you take every opportunity that is presented to you to hear the preaching of the word of God? Do you spend time with the Lord before you attend the preaching of the word of God, asking him to speak to you through that word? to make you submissive to all that he would ask of you? Are you more eager to do the things that you consider best rather than to seek the face of the Lord through his word? How obedient are you in your life to the word of God? But let us notice something here. Jude does not tell us that we are to merely attend the preaching of the word. In other words, to rely upon someone else to build us up in our most holy faith. We are, of course, to do that. That is why we come along. We come along to worship the Lord. We come along to learn of him through the preaching of his word. We come along to hear the very voice of God through the preacher. God has given to us pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But being built up on our most holy faith is not solely the responsibility of preachers. It is our responsibility, yours and mine. And what are we doing about it? How much time, dear friends, and I challenge you, and I challenge my own heart, how much time do we spend with the Word of God in quiet at home? Do we read it continuously? I heard just some time ago of a woman who reads the Bible through twice a year. Have you ever read the Bible, the whole Bible through once in your lifetime? I was greatly encouraged to receive a phone call from a young woman who was a member of my previous church, and she wanted advice as to how she should improve her Bible study times. She was using a very useful Bible study scheme already, but she wanted suggestions to try to improve her knowledge of the scriptures. I was very encouraged, because it was a very rare request that comes my way. Do you want to be seeped in the Word of God? Do you want to know increasingly that faith that was once for all delivered to the saints? Oh, not for any academic prowess, so that you can show off your knowledge to your fellow Christians. God forbid that we should have such an attitude. But so that we can stand against those who are not only denying the Word of God, but those who wrest the Scriptures, as Peter tells us in his letter, so that we shall not be like those who are being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. But, and this is more to the point of what Jude is saying here in these two verses, we shall know our God, the triune God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, in an increasing way, in a more intimate way. For the scriptures are God's revelation to mankind, and is to guide is a guide to man on his journey that leads to God. If we are to know that daily enjoyment of our God and experience a greater measure of his love toward us, we need to be building ourselves up on our most holy faith. But Jude continues. He says we need to be praying in the Holy Spirit. He instructs us in the second thing that we must be doing, praying in the Holy Spirit. Dear friends, it stands to reason, if we wish to know more of the love of God shed abroad within our hearts, we need to spend much more time in his immediate presence. If we wish to know his favour upon us, if we wish to know his strength and his care upon us day by day, we need to spend time praying in the Holy Spirit. Dear friends, am I being unreasonable by pointing out that fact, especially in this day when we're so pressurized, when there seems to be so little time for doing the things that we want to do? But this is what Jude is saying. We are to be praying in the Holy Spirit. The But why do we not find ourselves praying in the Holy Spirit as much as even we ourselves think we should? Why is it that our lives are being filled up with matters which are of far smaller importance? Indeed, so often with the frivolities of this life. Dear friends, if we would long after the reality of the love of God within us, our everyday experience, if we would want to know what it really means to be a joyful Christian, then this is the way that is set down by Jude here in this letter. Perhaps before we pass on to our last point, there's another question that we ought to ask. Why does Port Jude describe praying as praying in the Holy Spirit? Simply because that alone is true praying. Praying that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, who gives us strength to pray, who shows us how to pray, so that we pray according to the will of God and not according to our own selfish desires. Praying in the Holy Spirit means to pray always according to the will of God and for his glory and for his praise. But finally, Jude says that we need to be constantly looking to the consummation of all things. We need to be looking forward to that great inheritance that is laid up in glory for us. Our thoughts and our longings should not merely be on the present. It should be there, of course. We should be longing, as we have seen, for that constant enjoyment of our God here and now. We long to be experiencing his love upon us. And we should be asking ourselves why we are not experiencing those sheer delights. They're promised for the here and now. And we should long for them here and now. But our greatest longings are to be centered upon that which is to come. This is not what Paul is saying in those verses in 2 Corinthians 4 and reading into chapter 5. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up by life. And of course, this is how the saints of God in the past lived. Listen to this. The writer to the Hebrews says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had been called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. How much do we ponder upon that which is before us? What a glorious prospect. And it is a prospect of each one of us. And the more we set our mind and our heart upon that prospect, the more we shall here and now be enjoying the love of God toward us. Well, we must close. I scarcely want to, for I'm not sure that I've done any sort of justice to these words in Jude. But I do trust that I have shared something of my own desire and longing to know more and more of the love of God in every part and aspect of my life. I've got a long way to go. I'm sure most of you would say the same thing. I'm lacking as much that the scriptures reveal to me, not least of the responsibilities which these words of Jude lay upon me. But the Lord knows my heart, and he knows that I long to know him in a more real and in a more relevant way. I long to know and experience his love upon me in whatever situation he might be pleased to bring me into, whether pleasant or unpleasant. So for now, I close with these words upon my lips. I trust within my heart that you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves. Let us keep ourselves in the love of Christ.